You are listening to Radio Aryan for an alternative to the anti-white system. On RadioAryan.com.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and children of all ages, to the Roper Report. As always, I am your host, Billy Roper, right here on RadioAryan.com for the Roper Report, bringing you Billy's Balkanization podcast, news and political commentary, which you will not hear anywhere else on the tail end of August 2017. As always, on RadioAryan.com, the Roper Report is brought to you by the numbers 14 and 88, and by the letters H and X, and by your generous non-tax-deductible contributions to Roper_Billy@yahoo.com through PayPal. Once again, that's through PayPal to Roper_Billy@yahoo.com to help with the Shekel Fund. Now, here on the Roper Report, every week we bring you the inside scoop. I'm not going to talk to you about the fact that Identity Europa has new leadership this week after Nathan D'Amigo has stepped down and given up the leadership to pursue finishing his degree, starting his family, and defending himself from the charges he picked up in Charlottesville, and that Eli Mosley has been tapped to be the new 25-year-old leader of Identity Europa. We wish them luck in that, but that's their own internal business, which we won't comment at this time until the tear gas clears and we see exactly the direction that they'll be going. We can only hope that they will scooch further right and go full 1488 over there at Identity Europa. So we wish Mr. Mosley all the luck in the world, and the Shieldwall Network is interested and willing in working with Identity Europa on local, regional, and national levels if they're interested. That having been said, in Knoxville this last weekend, about 28 Confederate protesters, 28 Confederate patriots, 28 Confederate stalwart defenders of the Confederate statues and monuments there in Knoxville stood against 100-1 odds in the beautiful city of Knoxville, successfully holding a protest against the removal of the monument there. And even though all of the Antifa and the feminists and the homosexuals from the local colleges and universities came out against them, and the media was obviously biased against the white side, they did a great job, stalwart job, in standing up for white heritage, history, and our interest there in Knoxville. So congratulations to Mr. Pierce and all of the 28 Confederates who stood up in Knoxville this last weekend. Very proud to associate with them and look forward to working with them even more closely in the future. Now, this week here on the home front, the Southern Poverty Law Center has admitted their collusion with Act for America against myself and the Shieldwall Network for our June the 10th March Against Sharia rally, which we held here in Batesville, Arkansas. The Southern Poverty Law Center contacted Act for America and told them that I was a evil racist Nazi who wanted to kill 6 Karelian Jews and they should not work with us. And so Act for America pulled their support for the rally, disavowed myself and the Shieldwall Network and our rally, and urged all of their supporters not to attend. That made it much easier for me to co-opt their rally and have complete control over it, and it was a very successful rally, which garnered myself and the Shield Wall Network national media attention. As a matter of fact, I think it's fair to say that the Shield Wall Network got more publicity and more media coverage out of our march against Sharia on June the 10th than did all of the other Act for America demonstrations held across the country on that day, precisely because of the collusion of Act for America and all of their cucks with the SPLC against me. So, once again, epic fail for the SPLC, also an epic fail for Act for America, and very interesting that now the SPLC has admitted publicly through their own articles that they did collaborate and collude with Act for America against me, much to their chagrin. Now, Act for America has canceled 67 America First rallies, which they had planned for this month after Charlottesville, showing just how weak and gutless as an organization they are. Also here on the home front, Little Rock, Arkansas Mayor Mark Stodola has signed an ADL Anti-First Amendment Compact. If you go to mayorscompact.org, that's mayorscompact.org, you'll see that the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, and you have to do that in your throat, B'nai B'rith, because that means Brotherhood of the Circumcised. It's a Jewish organization. The Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith is a Jewish organization that's actually created about 100 years ago, around 1913, about the same time the Jews founded the Federal Reserve Bank, as a matter of fact, to defend a Jewish factory owner who killed, after raping her, a little white girl named Mary Fagan. So, in memory of Mary Fagan, let's make sure that we remember the origin of the Jewish ADL. They're still at it, folks. They have not given up yet, and they will not give up until we finish the job that we started in 1933. So the Jewish ADL is now working to have, at the current count, about 270 mayors from all across the United States sign this Mayor's Compact that you can read at mayorscompact.org, which basically says they're going to cooperate to stop bigotry and hatred and to put more resources and more impetus on teaching anti-racism in public schools in their jurisdictions, in their cities, and also they're going to use the bully pulpit of the mayoral office against racism and hatred. But the key thing that I focused on was that they're going to use their ability to decide whether or not to grant permits for public protests and demonstrations and rallies to limit white speech. Literally, they said that they're going to begin limiting the size and the scope and the location of public demonstrations and protests. Now, what that means, of course, we have the First Amendment right to freedom of speech as well as to peaceably assemble. And technically, that federally protected right trumps, no pun intended, anything that is done on a state or a local level that any mayor could do. And if you don't believe it, just ask all of the towns and the states across the country who overwhelmingly, over and over again, voted against allowing gay marriage in their cities and in their states through popular referendum and through state laws, only to have those local and state laws against gay marriage overturned by the federal level. So, the converse would be true. Our free speech is protected everywhere, regardless of what some mayor may say. We may, in fact, find ourselves in a position where we'll have to do flash mob type protests and demonstrations and rallies in the future because mayors, at least these 270 and counting, who have signed on with the ADL through this mayorscompact.org, will deny us permits unless they have complete control over the place and the time, duration, and location. That would mean that they could literally put barriers and buffers between ourselves and the public and between ourselves and the media so that we're not able to give interviews, we're not able to have footage shown on local television or be covered in the newspapers or on radio or to reach the public. And if they isolate us like that, then that's the same as denying us the permit, which means, once again, quoting John F. Kennedy, a great liberal Democrat, those who make peaceful revolution impossible make violent revolution necessary. And certainly we may not be quite ready for civil disobedience on a grand scale like the blacks practiced in the 1960s yet. That may be coming. But obviously, if mayors are going to limit where and for how long we can hold protests and demonstrations and rallies, if they can place us on a hill far away from the media, where we could get interviews out to mass audience of the people who listen to radio and watch TV news and read newspapers still. If they're able to keep us from contacting the public directly, then if a tree falls in the forest, does it really make a noise? Well, if a protest is held and no one can see it or hear it or witness it, is it really worth having? We may then have to start using flash mob type tactics, guerrilla publicity tactics, without permits to hold demonstrations and rallies and protests, which we plan, which Antifa will not know about until they are over and done with, and which only the media that we contact briefly before the rally begins will actually have an opportunity to cover. And so they will eventually be eager for those scoops and clamoring for those contacts and looking forward to us contacting them and giving them those press releases, telling them where and when to be. And the audience will, of course, look forward to every flash mob of white nationalists and alt-right who don't apply for permits but just show up randomly, wherever and whenever they wish, exactly as the First Amendment and our protected freedom of speech and freedom to peaceably assemble was intended to allow us to do. So I put that forward for consideration that if the 270 and counting mayors, like Mark Stodola, the Little Rock City mayor, continue to work with the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith to deny us our First Amendment protected rights and to try to limit where and for how long we can have protests under their permits, then perhaps we just stop trying to get permits for our demonstrations and just do flash mobs. This could result in a new type of guerrilla marketing, which is called agitprop. Agitprop is an abbreviated acronym for agitation propaganda. Agitation propaganda means that if you recognize that the recipient of your message is going to be hostile to you, then you don't try to soft pedal your message. You actually aim to trigger them. It's using protests and rallies and demonstrations to troll the enemy. And in this case, we have to recognize that the enemy that we'll be trolling with our protest are these city governments who are trying to silence our voices, who are trying to hide us from our audience, the general public, our people. The use of permitless protest, then, as agitational propaganda, and the flash mobs and the media coverage which we will get without hordes of state and local police standing around us in their Darth Vader outfits will make a much more powerful image to the public than those current protests which we now get permits for. That is but one use of agitation propaganda. We can then ridicule and belittle these mayors, such as Little Rock Mark Stodola and the other signatories to the ADL's mayorscompact.org, by showing how impotent they are to stop us from having our protest and how we're still getting the media coverage, and that's going to be crucial to make sure that we have the media on board, because they will not be able to resist this scoop, be a great story for them to cover, without their permits and without their cooperation and without their police presence, because they will not be protecting Antifa from us or waiting for someone on our side to do something unwise so they can arrest them. They won't be there at all. Now, this kind of reflects back on the use of agitprop, agitation propaganda, in the past. In the 1960s, they did use civil disobedience. They had sit-ins at lunch counters if they wanted to forcibly integrate. They sat down in the middle of the streets. They marched on Washington. They forcibly integrated places that were not supposed to be racially integrated. And the agitprop of that was that they mocked and belittled those local city officials, especially in the South, who were not able to stop them in that case because they had the federal government working actively against them. We can do the same thing because we have a growing number of our people on our side who will be cheering us on against these mayors and these corrupt city officials and bureaucrats. So last week I called in to the Stormfront radio show and discussed this compact with the ADL, which 270 United States mayors have signed with Don Black and the other gentlemen who were hosts of the Stormfront radio show last Thursday. And I talked about how everyone should go to mayorscompact.org and to read the ADL's plans to attempt to silence us by limiting the scope and the duration and location of white nationalist and alt-right protest, and also the other provisions, which are obviously anti-racist, which, as we all know, is just a euphemism for anti-white. So I encourage you to do the same. And all the listeners to stormfront.org, I have a special message for you in just a few minutes. But first, let me close my discussion of Little Rock Mayor Mark Stodola's signing the ADL's compact by telling you what I did personally in response. I contacted the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union, which, ironically, in Arkansas, of course, are led by Jews, and they're not friends of ours, they're not allies of ours. They sometimes work for a broad range of free speech cases, litigating and filing injunctions against elected officials who are violating people's free speech rights. We recognize now that they no longer are being classical liberals in defending everyone's free speech. You know, a classical liberal used to say, just a couple of years ago, that they may not agree with what someone was saying, but that they would fight to the death to defend their right to say it. That really is thrown out the window now, isn't it? They no longer say that. They no longer believe that because we, white nationalists, are the ones who are saying what they don't want to hear. Because we, white nationalists, have a growing voice in our nation. We're standing up and speaking up like never before. It's unprecedented. The growth of our movement scares them. And now, rather than pretending to be classical liberals, we can point out their hypocrisy by asking them, hey, where's your defense of free speech now?
Sort of looks like Darth Vader with his gun and his radar and his flashing blue light. He drives a government squad car full of all kinds of hardware to handle the angry mob. And with his badge on his shoulder and his gun in his holster, he'll tell you he's just doing his job. Watch out for martial law when he's out there watching that. If he's a tool of the bankster, he's a badge-wearing gangster, an agent straight from Interpol. Watch out for martial law. He's there to prove who owns a muscle and might. And he just might pull you over to the side of the shoulder, cause he cannot see your license plate light. Because he cannot see your license plate light. Ain't it a frightening feeling when you're behind the wheel? Him there, or when you're round in the corner and he's right there behind you in your rearview mirror. Is he a foe or a friend or this public defender we see on our TV screen, or just some vain reckless power gaining strength every hour, a threat to the American dream? Watch out for martial law when he's out there watching after you. If he's a tool of the bankster, he's a badge-wearing gangster, collector of the revenue. Watch out for martial law. And if he's tailing you, you better not run. Just read the news in the papers covering some of his capers. He's dangerous when he's aiming that gun. That boy is dangerous when he's aiming that gun. Time when it seemed like he was part of the dream, when we could count on him. But now he sold his allegiance to those socialist schemers and their every whim. Now I've got nothing against him if he's out defending my country, my Bill of Rights. But if he's out there abusing all those powers he's using, then maybe we should turn off his lights. Watch out for martial law when he's out there watching after you. If he's a tool of the bankster, he's a badge-wearing gangster, an agent straight from Interpol. Watch out for martial law. He's there to prove who owns the muscle and might, and he just might pull you over to the side of the shoulder, 'cause he cannot see your license plate light. Watch out for martial law. And if he's tailing you, you better not run. Just read the news in the papers covering some of his capers. He's dangerous when he's waving that gun. I said you better be wary if he's had a bad hair day, because he's dangerous when he's aiming that gun. He can be dangerous when he's aiming that gun. That boy is dangerous when he's aiming that gun.
They don't really care about free speech. Like most libertarians, they're only concerned about degeneracy being protected. They're much more likely to want to protect pedophiles or homosexuals than they are people who have the same values and principles and ideals as our nation's founding fathers, as we do. Being that expressed and known, I still contacted the ACLU in Little Rock, and after give them a phone call and explain the situation to them, I told them that only one media outlet in the state, KTHV, the CBS TV news out of Little Rock, and I'll give them credit for that, had run any coverage at all of Little Rock Mayor Mark Stodel of signing this ADL compact. None of the rest would touch it, and KTHV quickly got squashed and did not say anything else about it. You'd think this would be a big story, especially after Charlottesville, right? No. One story, briefly mentioned, then glossed over, never brought up again. Except this guy right here, right? So I contacted the ACLU and filed a formal petition asking them to file an injunction against Little Rock Mayor Mark Stodola, asking him to remove his signature from the ADL's compact of mayors, or at least to clarify for the citizens of Little Rock what he meant. Why is he going to limit the duration and the location and the scope of future protests? And how will he arbitrarily decide which protests to limit, and how will he arbitrarily decide to limit them in scope and in duration and location? Because these arbitrary limitations of our First Amendment rights to freedom of speech and to peaceably assemble are clearly violations of the U.S. Constitution and our Bill of Rights, specifically the First Amendment. I don't really expect the ACLU in Arkansas to carry any water for us or even to file this injunction. They have not so far answered my request for the filing, even though I formally did it in writing on their website as required. But I also published the fact that I had filed with the ACLU to have an injunction against Little Rock Mayor Mark Stodola on the Rope Report, which you can read by going to the Rope Report site.wordpress.com, as well as to the Rope Report.whitenationalist.net. You can read it there, along with a link to the story that was carried by KTHV. But the important thing to recall, especially when you're dealing with capital city mayors like Mark Stodola, is that they don't just influence city monuments, but because it's the capital of the state capitol police might control the grounds of the state capitol itself, but all around the state capitol, the Little Rock chief of police, who answers to Mark Stodola as the mayor, is going to be in charge of the security for any demonstration or protest around or at the state capitol, or any of the other locations which are prominent in the state around the state capitol. So, go to mayorscompact.org and see if your local city mayor or one near you has signed on, as have the 270 other completely cut anti-white mayors around the country. Also this last week, the Arkansas Times did a cover story of me. The Arkansas Times is a weekly news and political opinion magazine. They've done cover stories of me before, a few years ago, with my picture big and broad on the cover. This particular week, they did a cover story about Dodson, the guy in Charlottesville who was wearing the Arkansas engineering shirt that I now wear, and his interview with them, and then quoted me in a couple of paragraphs in the article. They generally, Max Brantley, the morbidly obese editor of the Arkansas Times, that I have clashed quite a few occasions, but they generally try not to give me any media coverage because they know that I really like it and don't care if I get doxxed. But this time they couldn't avoid it. And so once again, there's a cover story with Arkansas Times News Magazine this week, which has a couple paragraphs discussing myself and the Shield Wall Network and our protest in defense of the Confederate monuments at the state capitol and in Searcy at the White County Courthouse the week before last. Now, I know that along with myself and the Shield Wall Network and those 28 Confederate patriots in Knoxville, a lot of people are standing up and speaking up like never before. But we have also faced a lot of pressure, haven't we? I'll give you an example. I finally have managed, after four deletions of accounts which weren't even able to tweet or retweet or even finish their profiles over a 40-hour period, to get back on Twitter on a limited basis with a locked account that I'm being careful with. But so many Twitter accounts have been deleted in the last week that of the about 1,500 followers I had, because I was very careful on who I vetted and only let people I actually knew personally follow me on Twitter. But of those 1,500 followers, only about 10%, about 150, are currently there. On the Roper Report site, on the WordPress version, 1,100 of the email and Skype addresses which had been subscribed to the Roper Report were lost over a 24-hour period, just overnight. That's how many accounts were taken out by their servers. Now, some of them are starting to build back up again, and we're regaining a lot of them, but it was really a purge over a very short time. I want to remind you that even with what's happened with Stormfront, and I'll be talking more later on in the program about that, but all of the doxing, all of the purging, all of the denial of platforms by corporate media should not be a black pill. The same thing happened the first time that we had a revolution in this country. And to draw an analogy, a comparison, if you will, let's think of Charlottesville as being like the Boston Massacre. Kind of morbid, but yeah, 1770, you have these groups of ruffians, these street thugs called the Sons of Liberty, and they were kind of rough around the edges. They were tough guys. They were fighters. You know, they could handle themselves. They allied with some dock workers who weren't really political but liked a good fight and didn't like authority. Sound familiar? Kind of like skinheads. Now, there were some independent-minded colonial Americans who were already trying to kick off revolution. And I think of them, those committees of correspondence, as being kind of like myself in that they told the Sons of Liberty, who were trying to stir up a popular uprising in Boston, to be very careful about who they allied themselves with, to not just take anybody on board and work with whoever they could get to stand beside them. Well, the Sons of Liberty didn't listen, and they actually allied with some people who were unsavory. I'll give you an example. There were some escaped slaves, Africans, who allied briefly with the Sons of Liberty against the British. One of them was Crispus Attucks, who was an escaped slave, mulatto, half-black, who worked as a dock worker in Boston while he was running from his master, who was trying to catch him to bring him back to the cotton fields back home. And Crispus Attucks allied with the Sons of Liberty in their attempt to stir up a little difficulty for the British regulars in Boston. Now, that was ill-advised, but even though the advice was given not to work with these corrupt people, these people with their own interest. The Sons of Liberty went out that day, and they packed rocks and snowballs, and they threw them at the British soldiers who were on sentry duty until a crowd of the British soldiers came, and then they kept throwing the snowballs and the rocks at them until one of them panicked. One of the British soldiers panicked and shot, and then others, thinking they're being shot at, shot. And so the Boston Massacre happened.
This is for all you new people. I only have one rule. Everyone fights. No one quits. If you don't do your job, I'll kill you myself.
We're in this for the species, boys and girls. It's simple numbers. They have more.
Now, it would be 6 years after the Boston Massacre for that 3% level to be reached and the 56 guys who actually were willing to put their names on the paper signed the Declaration of Independence on July the 4th, 1776. In that intervening 6 years, there were a lot more cases of agitation propaganda. But the biggest case of agitation propaganda, bigger than Lexington in April of 1775, a year before the Declaration was signed, bigger than the dumping of the tea in Boston Harbor by a bunch of Sons of Liberty dressed as Indians, the biggest piece of agitation propaganda or agitprop was Paul Revere, the silversmith, using his networks to really turn the Boston Massacre into a case of American martyrdom against British colonial oppression. And all the pictures that we think of when we picture the Boston Massacre were a result of the propaganda, the agitation propaganda, the agitprop of Paul Revere, who took a bad situation that could have been and should have been handled better and ran with it and did the best with it that he could. Now, that's what I expressed to Don Black and Father Francis and the other host of Stormfront Radio when I called in to discuss moving forward. Our enemies all have the same mass grave in mind for us. So regardless of whether we're all right or white nationalist, we need to try to pull together as much as possible and face an uncertain future together, as united as you possibly can. And regardless of what perhaps could have been done better, we need to make sure that we make the best case for the defense of Charlottesville and everything that comes from it, including the fallout and the optics, as we possibly can. Just like the Founding Fathers did in 1770, following the Boston Massacre. So we can learn from our Founding Fathers and use agitprop, agitation propaganda, just like Paul Revere did. But we need to also learn from them. If we do lose the internet, and I published an article called Without a Net, and I republished it a year later, this last week, on both the Rope Report websites and on the Shieldwall Network site, to remind people that they need to begin to build local networks of communication now. They need to get old school with it. You need to make sure that everyone that you care about has your email address in case we lose all of our social media and independent platforms. We need to make sure that those of us who are within a certain area of one another, say a tank of gas, have not only email addresses, but phone numbers and, that's right, even old school, literal snail mail mailing addresses. Because the time will come, as I've said over and over again, when the number of people that you can get together with you to man a barricade and block off a street and to keep hungry refugees out will be more important than the number of likes or followers you had on social media ever. Twitter and Facebook's not going to be around. Neither will our own forums. Neither will our own websites or our own poll channels. We'll have to make sure that we can contact one another even when the internet is denied to us through some false flag attack that causes martial law to be invoked, or through this kind of slow slide deplatforming, which we're experiencing right now. So I urge you to go to the Shieldwall Network website, theshieldwallnetwork.wordpress.com. Email me, roper_billy@yahoo.com. Help us in whatever time that we have left reach our people. Allow us, in whatever time we have left, while we still have the internet, to teach you how to become a person of influence in real life, in your community today. We'll teach you step by step how to organize and hold private and secure local meetings as you build your own local network of like-minded patriots who will be there with you for mutual aid and assistance when balkanization begins and we no longer have the internet.
Deutschland! Die Heil Deutschland!
Folks, I think you all know it. I've been telling you for months. It's coming. it's never been any closer than it is right now. And no man knows the day or the hour. I can't tell you exactly when, but I can tell you that it is inevitable. And I want you to have the opportunity to not be alone wondering what you're going to do since you can't get a hold of anybody when it does happen. Don't let this historical opportunity to get off the sidelines and into the front lines of changing history pass you by. Network now with the Shield Wall Network and with your local activists and patriots in your area. Email me, roper_billy@yahoo.com. Go to the Shield Wall Network website. Get involved locally in real life. Because I can tell you that we are being deplatformed. We are being purged. Our First Amendment is worthless, just like the ballot box is now. Now is the time, before it is too late, to network locally in real life and to get to know people whom you can trust implicitly when the time comes. Our founding fathers, aside from using agitation propaganda or agitprop, knew this was going to happen for them as well. The government, then as now, controlled the postal mail, so they established committees of correspondence, and guys like Ben Franklin actually wrote letters to the editor of their newspapers to communicate with more people than they could through letters on a mass scale under pseudonyms. And these were revolutionary tracts that were then reprinted by small-town newspapers and in chains across the Northeast and down the Atlantic coast throughout the South. These committees of correspondence, which resulted, were the founding fathers communicating with one another about the ultimate need to have independence, to rebel against Great Britain, and it allowed all of them to be red-pilled and radicalized at that time through the dialectic struggle. You have people who, like Thomas Paine, like myself today, represented the radical flake effect. And whenever you get black-pilled, whenever you get discouraged and frustrated and frightened by the doxings and the purges and the deplatforming, I want you to remember that this is nothing new. History always works in cycles. And in the 1770s it happened. In the 1860s it happened. Thomas Paine was an American patriot born in England who was maybe not perfect. He wasn't an angel, but he was a great writer of revolutionary inspiring literature, agitational propaganda. And this agitprop, as written by Thomas Paine, was collected to a large degree in a book that was distributed throughout the colonies called The American Crisis. And in The American Crisis is the famous quote, which is just as appropriate today as it was in 1777 when it was first published. I want you to listen to this quote. "These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands by it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman." Truly, again, in 2017, these are the times that try men's souls. And the summer soldier, the hobbyist, the LARPer, the cosplay animist, the LOLbergs, will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their race. They'll hide back in their mom's basement. Go back to World of Warcraft. But those who are radicalized, those who are completely 1488ed, deserve the love and thanks of man and woman. Not just now, but in the future. Because that's why we do what we do. I was talking to Stephen Lanzer and Lord Goodhammer, who were generous enough to allow me on their program. It'll be broadcast this next week, I think, on Race and Nation through RadioArian.com. And it was an hour-long telephone interview. It was great to talk to them and found out that they are exactly on the same page as I am on virtually every issue. But, you know, we were talking about how people need to be radicalized. They don't need to soft pedal it. They need to have some testicular fortitude. Well, those people now who realize that we are literally fighting for the 14 words that we must secure the existence of our people and a future for white children now, they will be the heroes of tomorrow. And we will erect statues for them that no one will ever take down again, because those enemies will be extinct. Because this time, we will finish the job. And that brings me to the problem with deplatforming. As all of you know, Daily Stormer, InfoStormer have been deplatformed, and the biggest blow yet, so has Stormfront. The Stormfront forum is down because Network Solutions cut to a lady who worked for the Department of Justice Civil Rights Division and for the NAACP, and later became a civil rights lawyer and worked to make sure that white people were not allowed freedom of speech. I wrote an article about her. It was not a doxing article, but it introduced people to Kristen Clark, who is the leader of this organization that was originally founded by President John F. Kennedy, which now is used to try to deplatform white people and also to fight against rational voter ID laws in places like Texas. Kristen Clark, as I said in this article on theropereport.whitenationalist.net, is the terrorist responsible for shutting down Stormfront. She proudly claimed responsibility. Ms. Kristen Clark, who is obsolete farm machinery, you can look at the picture that I posted over there on theropereport.whitenationalist.net. According to her LinkedIn profile, supports Black Lives Matter domestic terrorists, and yeah, she's claimed responsibility for intimidating Network Solutions, the server, into seizing Stormfront's domain name. She's currently the president and executive director of the Left Wing Lawyers Committee for the Civil Rights Under Law, which is basically an anti-white civil rights lawyers guild, which wants to be the SPLC when it grows up. And it consists primarily of those people whose ancestors never developed a written alphabet on their own. So in describing her support for affirmative action, without 4 centuries of which she'd be squatting over a cattle dung fire, roasting grubworms for dinner, the unmarried and perhaps lesbian lower primates organization is labeled, even by the left-wing New York Times, as being liberal. Liberal. That's like Elton John saying you're a little light in the loafers. You know, you're a little queer. Terrorism is terrorism. Terrorism is terrorism. Whether it comes from the barrel of a gun or through the insinuated threat of legal proceedings like she did, hold up to the head of Network Solutions. And prior to her current efforts to overcome penis gourd envy, Kristen, whose Zulu name is reported to be Shaniquishla, meaning saggy, brown, and smelly, was chief of the Civil Rights Bureau for New York State Attorney General Eric Schneiderman. Yes, just like the NAACP, you know, she's another she-boon trained by a kike. Now, speaking of the NAACP, like I said, that's where she chased KFC previously, as well as at the DOJ. And in fact, she spent her entire nigger life as an anti-white lawyer while hypocritically benefiting from living in a white-created civilization. According to Shaniquishla's Twitter feed, she works hard to open borders and allow non-white illegal immigrants to vote by filing court assaults against reasonable voter ID laws. And as the picture that accompanies the article illustrates, she looks to me like any common $5 ghetto crack whore. But then, you know, that might just be my white privilege perspective talking. I'd rather spend a 5 spot on a Big Mac myself. Probably be a lot more filling. But now that she's on your radar, be sure and keep an eye on Shaniquishla or Kristen Clark and her legal career. We may find ourselves someday, you know, sitting across a negotiating table from her, bargaining an exchange of Alabaman whites from New Africa for black refugees from the besieged cities that we've surrounded in New America when balkanization inevitably happens and America breaks apart. Remember, we can use the extra crispy as leverage, right? I want to remind you all that if you were formerly on Stormfront, it's going to come back. Until it does, go to rents.com. And every Monday through Friday, from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on rents.com, you can still hear Stormfront Radio, hosted by Don Black. And they'll be bringing you up to date on the efforts to restore and resurrect the Stormfront Forum. Also, please make plans now. Do not be dissuaded. Do not be frightened away. That's what terrorists want to do. They want to terrorize us. They want to intimidate us. They want to frighten us into sitting down and shutting up. Make plans now, despite these terrorist efforts, to attend the Stormfront Conference in Eastern Tennessee, September the 29th through October the 1st. Now there you'll be able to meet Dr. David Duke and myself, Billy Roper, and Don Black and Sam Dixon and other white nationalist leaders and spokespersons, as well as network and socialize with dozens of other patriots who do not and will not bow to terrorism. And we will make sure that this private and secure location is completely protected for your safety. That's the Stormfront Conference, October the 1st, September the 31st, and September the 30th in Eastern Tennessee. If you'd like to register, you can email me, Roper_Billy at yahoo.com. I will keep you up to date on the plans for the Stormfront Conference, but do not be frightened by the terrorism of Sheboons like this obsolete farm machinery, Kristen Clark, our Shani Quishla.
They're just walking monkeys.
So, while you are recovering from the doxing and the purging and the deplatforming, be white-pilled. That they would not be doing this if they were not afraid. We are winning, and especially this week of all weeks, it's the anniversary when we honor the memories of Charles Lindbergh and Commander George Lincoln Rockwell, both of whom passed this week in history. Imagine how they would react to this situation. They would not be intimidated or frightened. They would take it as a sign if they were receiving flak that they were correctly and directly over their target, and they would open the bomb bay doors and hit the enemy with some more agitprop. That is the word for this week's The Rope Report, Billy's Balkanization Podcast. Agitprop. Agitation propaganda. Whether it is through flyers and stickers or trolling on the internet through the social media platforms which we still have available to us. Whether it is through holding demonstrations and protests and rallies without bothering to ask light slaves for a permit to do so. Agitation propaganda, or agitprop, will be the wave of the future, guerrilla publicity and marketing for the white nationalist movement. So I encourage you to study history a bit and see how it's been used by our enemies and by ourselves in the past, successfully, to troll our enemies and to trigger them into overreaction, which always creates the inevitable backlash we're seeing build up like a groundswell now. People in the center, moderate Americans, are being alienated away from the left by the left's incessant attacks against not just Confederate targets, not just Confederate monuments and Confederate statues, but now they're literally at the University of Virginia this morning attacking a statue of Thomas Jefferson. They're wanting to have statues of Christopher Columbus taken down and Peter Stuyvesant. I told you last week, it's not going to end with Robert E. Lee. They hate the founding principles and ideals of our founding fathers and our nation because America, the United States, was founded to be explicitly a white republic, a white ethnostate, and they know that, and they won't destroy that heritage and that history so they can then destroy our people as a whole and make us extinct. Now, before I talk about the future of Stormfront, I'd like to mention that our thoughts and prayers go out to the white people in Southeast Texas, especially in the Houston area, who are undergoing terrible flooding right now in the aftermath of Hurricane Harvey. I'm in touch with some Shield Wall Network and Shield Maiden members and affiliates in that area. Most of them have not bugged out because they have livestock and they have property that they cannot secure or cannot take with them. Most of them have decided to stay. We certainly wish them the best, and the Shield Wall Network and the Shield Maidens will be doing everything that we can to help them as soon as we possibly are able to. At this time, if you were thinking of helping out through the Shield Wall Network, the Houston airport has been closed. No one is able to fly in. Most of the roads have been closed. The land lanes have been closed as well. National Guard and local and county and state officials have the situation in hand as much as can be. But this is going to require months of cleanup and recovery. Months. And even FEMA, as we saw with Hurricane Katrina, lets a lot of our people fall through the crack as non-whites get preferential and discriminatory first-dibs treatment. A lot of the refugee camps and centers in these areas will not be safe for whites, just as the New Orleans situation proved, where whites in the Superdome were raped and murdered. At that time, I established what was called the Cartridges for Katrina program, where I pledged to replace the ammunition that any white people in the area used to shoot looters with. And we established a tent city, a explicitly whites-only tent city in southern Mississippi for refugees from Hurricane Katrina at that time, which got some media coverage, but we still did. We made trips down there to bring water, clothes, and food by the truckload to the white refugees from Hurricane Katrina at that time. We will do whatever we can, whatever is needed, whatever is necessary to help out our brothers and sisters of the white race in Southeast Texas just as soon as it becomes clear what the best way to do that is. But we'll be carrying out any relief efforts that we do through the Cover Our People with Love pro-white charity. And you can find out more about the Cover Our People with Love charity by going to the website coverourpeoplewithlove.wordpress.com. That's coverourpeoplewithlove.wordpress.com. And you can write to the Cover Our People with Love Pro-White Charity at P.O. Box 1937, Mountain View, Arkansas, 72560. That's Cover Our People with Love, Mountain View, Arkansas, 72560, P.O. Box 1937. You can also send PayPal donations to the Cover Our People with Love Pro-White Charity to Roper_Billy at yahoo.com. Now, the current needs for the Cover Our People with Love Pro-White Charity as they continue to make handmade blankets and quilts for newborn white babies and for white children who are taken out of abusive and neglectful homes are for just material, flat sheets of full size or larger of any color, any other fabric or any color or design that can be turned into 4-inch or 8-inch or 12-inch squares for making quilts, sewing machine thread, preferably black or white, sewing machine needles for a Brother brand sewing machine, and yarn in any colors. Right now, we're actually running low on male colors for my wife, who is the primary creator of these handmade quilts and blankets for white children and infants. And this material can be sent to Tina Roper, P.O. Box 1937, Mountain View, Arkansas, 72560, to help out with the Cover Our People with Love Pro-White Charity. And in the coming weeks, as we find out more what is needed and how we can help the Shield Wall Network and Shield Maiden affiliates who are already on the ground in Texas help their neighbors and help other white Texans in the aftermath of Hurricane Harvey, we'll be sure to let you know what we're doing and how you can pitch in and help. But for now, stay tuned to the Rope Report websites and the Shield Wall Network website and to the Rope Report podcast each week on RadioArian.com as well as on the Billy Roper YouTube channel. We'll make sure that your resources are put to the best possible use to help us help our people. With that having been said, I will close this weekend's broadcast of the Rope Report by reminding you that Stormfront Radio with Don Black is now back on the air despite the forum being down, and you can go to the Rope Report website to find out how you can make sure that it stays back on the air as they work to bring the forum back. Until next week, this is Billy Roper for the Rope Report on Radio Arian, reminding you to think racially, act locally, but no matter what, keep it white.
Can you hear the student band? I think they're getting out of hand. Will you know what happened to those who complain? We've got to stop them seeing light. Let them think it's all right. Cause the fireworks aren't to keep them entertained. Well, the wells have not run dry. Do we really need to lie? We'll say it's a national emergency. We'll set a wedding full of clowns, and we'll kick them while they're down. Get the banks control, cause they are friends to me. Let's go and find a better place. We'll call it New America. Won't it be a lovely place to be? Imperial material, the mind of New America. The best idea since democracy.
Listening to Radio Arian for an alternative to the anti-white system on RadioArian.com.